Once upon a time, two men decided if they were making the cut. And then they made the cut. And now JT and Aaron are talking everything from wrestling to pop culture and beyond. Because it's no holds barred.
Will you back down, turn and run? Or stand up with the best?
No holds barred. How are you, Aaron?
Is my musk bothering you?
I can get a waft of it coming from the great white upstairs.
I just went for a walk outside for like 2 hours.
Wow, look at you. Up.
Yeah,
Mr.
Out and
about.
Yeah, I was talking to my son about Braveheart and historical inaccuracy.
Did you get into Titanic as well?
We did actually talk about Titanic. Because he couldn't believe that they made a movie about a tragedy.
Mm.
And I was like, well, hold on now. I got to explain some things to you.
Let me tell you about Batman.
Well, it was a whole thing of like, because he was talking about how like Star Wars and Lord of the Rings are the greatest movies of all time. And I'm on board. Right. But then I'm like, but they're not the highest grossing. And then we got into a discussion about Avatar and Titanic and yeah.
How about Pearl Harbor?
We didn't talk about that one, and we probably won't. Are you big on Pearl Harbor, or is that another one you haven't seen?
I don't know if I've seen it, actually. It was long, wasn't it?
Yeah, and it's fine. It's not a bad film, but it's not particularly... I think I watched it once, and then... I don't know about accurate.
I think I've heard it's not accurate, right? That's what I've been told.
There was no attack on Pearl Harbor. That was the Chinese propaganda.
The Martians, yes. Well, no, I have a kinship with Pearl Harbor, being my birthday and all, so.
Oh, God, yeah, that's right, eh?
Yep.
My birthday is the birthday of the first Prime Minister of Canada.
Ah, that's days away, isn't it? I gotta get you something.
Yeah. Just a better attitude going forward would be good.
Shut up. All right, we're in episode 51 of No Holds Barred, and we talked about how we're going to be mixing things up here in the new year. You heard our last episode. We did our Listomania installment for Best January Workers. Mm-hmm. And tonight we're kicking off our Live Watch Game Night series, Aaron. So what that is, and I want to make sure, Game Night Match Watch is what I have as officially written down as.
We're going to work on that title. That title's not going to hold going forward.
Well, you better come up with something. Anyway, we're combining a couple ideas we had. We're going to throw on random matches that maybe have to do with the month we're in, I guess. And as part of that, we're going to play a game as we watch. So we're going to crib some old games on the Dangerous Alliance podcast, maybe, and come up with some new stuff and just give us something to talk about as we watch the match. So given it's January, what are we going to watch tonight?
Well, we're going to watch a show that's actually pretty special for you and me. Do you remember why it's special?
Why is it special? Royal Rumble 2001.
Yeah.
Why is it special for us? Did you do this on the Place to Be podcast?
Yeah, after you guys fucked me in the trivia tournament.
Oh, we did?
Yeah.
That doesn't sound right.
It absolutely sounds right. See, I think I had gotten... There was a question that I answered, and then there was like this online... Because that's kind of how we met, right? In that tournament, right? And then like there was some... there was some controversy as to if I answered the question correctly or not. And you were gracious enough to be like, well, you know, we'll give you, if you want, you can come on the show. And this was the show I picked.
Oh, okay. Well, we're going to talk about it again then. Second time in seven years, 8 years, whatever it was last. So I'm guessing that was your first appearance and outside of trivia, right? So we did choose this. We were trying to think of a pretty good Rumble to watch because the theme of tonight's game is going to be positivity in the new year.
Yeah.
So the game we're going to play is every one of these 30 guys that comes out, we're going to talk positively about positive moments of their career, best matches and moments that we enjoy about them, and just try and spread the positivity throughout the match. How's that sound?
It sounds great, and it sounds completely doable.
Sure. So we're paused at 144.56.
4:57.
4:57 on Rumble 2001. We're going to start with the just the Rumble match we're watching. So if you want to sync up with us, you can. If not, you can just listen along. And I'm going to count us in to hit play in 3, 2, go.
So Howard Finkel, best ring announcer ever, correct?
Of course, easily. I mean, I like Gary Michael Capetta, but he's no Fink.
No. No, and I like him more than Michael Buffer or any announcer in any sports, I believe.
Even Bruce Buffer?
Yes, definitely. I don't know who that is.
That's the guy who does the UFC now. Michael Buffer's brother.
I don't watch fake shit.
He's pretty great. He's pretty great, Bruce Buffer. But Fink is the best.
No one makes you feel more like than Fink. No! It's the best.
Well, what really aggravates me is, like, I feel this way about Jesse Ventura, and I feel this way about, like, JBL in his peak year, is that these guys that should have been on, and even Bobby Heenan, like, in the early 2000s, like, these guys were around and available, mostly. And they just weren't used because either Vince had a hang up or they just didn't see it as a viable option. Tony Schiavone sat on the bench for 16 years, you know what I mean? Yeah. Like, doing nothing. And he's, like, the best ever, maybe. One of the best ever. And the Fink was with this company until last year when he passed away. And even if you want to say a few years ago when he got sick or whatever. But as of Legends House, like, he was still fine. And that was, like, 2015 or whatever. So until that point, he was still employed by this company. And they just decided not to use him on events.
Well, look, let's turn it positive. They wanted a different aesthetic on the screen.
Well, look, we didn't say we had to be positive about their booking choices or personnel choices. But anyway, Jeff Hardy was number one and Bull Buchanan is number two. So what are your favorite Jeff Hardy memories and moments?
Well, I mean, it's all the latter shit, right?
Mm-hmm.
And maybe him being drunk and getting and pissing off Sting. Or not pissing off, more disappointing Sting.
Yeah, like a dad. Sad dad.
He just kind of looked at him like very upset and Bischoff. And I quite like Jeff Hardy's run that he's currently on.
Yes.
I mean,
I like all Jeff Hardy. I've never been down on Jeff Hardy. Like, I think he's turned the corner a lot. Like, up to 03, he was kind of just a spot guy. And I think that changed when he came back in 06. Like, I thought he was great in that whole run. I think 06 through his 09 title run, he was great that whole stretch and became a megastar.
I agree.
And then the return of WrestleMania 33 is one of my favorite live moments of all time.
Yeah. Man, imagine that happened.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it was the they finally got something at, like, the perfect time at its, like, peak overness.
Yeah. And they actually, and I talked about this in my most recent mailbag, they delivered on a surprise, which is not often in wrestling history. When they tease an actual surprise and it's a great, a great surprise.
Right. If they would have teased it before the show, they would have fucked it up.
Right. They just said a fourth team, right? That was it. So.
Yeah. But then and there. Like, that was in the moment. It wasn't before the show.
Oh, I thought it was for some reason.
No, because the New Day comes out as the host. Matt Hardy's next. We'll talk about him. The New Day comes out as host and is like, oh, it's a fatal four-way match now.
Oh, right. Okay. Well, I'm going to have to redact some of my mailbag. Bull Buchanan, what do you think about him?
He's bald.
Is that a good thing?
Yeah, he's got a nicely shaped head.
And he's gone.
He takes a really good clothesline out of the ring by the Hardy Boys.
I'll say this. Good on him because he was in the Truth Commission and that could have been a death knell. And then he was a big boss man in 2000 at that awful WrestleMania 16 match. Right. But he figured it out. He ended up being the good guys, the heavy for the writ to censor. So.
Right. And then B squared is later, right?
Yeah, and then be gone.
be gone. Now, like, how do you feel about the Hardys going at each other here?
I like it. It's every man for himself. It's like a throwback to Demolition at Rumble 89.
It's poor strategy, though, right?
Oh, you think they should just stand there and wait?
Yeah, and then once everybody else is gone.
Yeah.
Matt Hardy, what's your favorite Matt Hardy?
I mean, it's hard not to say the broken Matt Hardy stuff, I guess. But I love it all. Yes, in TNA, yep. But my favorite would be probably the V1 Mattitude in 02 and 03, which I'm actually really excited for Jake Williams to get to that on the Ruthless Aggressive podcast to kind of relive it. I loved it at the time. It was like my favorite character. I still got the V1 shirt, and I was just super into it. I love the Matt facts. I love how delusional he was and trying to make weight and all that stuff he was doing.
Right.
I love the Mattitude followers. I just thought it was a really cool gimmick for him to really overhaul his look, and that's what he needed. And it was kind of the first time where he did what he'll always be kind of be known for now is kind of, like a Jericho type thing, right, where he constantly revitalizes himself.
Right. All right, Ron Simmons.
Damn. Greatest spine buster of all time.
Oh, yeah.
Well, all right, I'll put two categories. Arn Anderson has the greatest, like, falling spinebuster of all time. Ron Simmons has the greatest, like, spike spinebuster of all time.
I'll hurt you, spinebuster.
He's going to murder you.
Also, best Dominator of all time.
Yes, and best ass.
But definitely best ass. And best voice for Oh Please No.
Please no.
If they were to make a movie of Ron Simmons' life, who would play him?
Ron Simmons.
Right.
I don't think anyone else could. Oh, God, this is going to be bad, isn't it? Okay, never mind.
No, he escaped. He escaped.
The Dominator was coming up, poor Matt. The this Rumble, so I didn't see this one live. We got the tape pretty soon after. My roommate, Terry, who was like on the low end of casual wrestling fan, watched it with me. We did a power hour watching this. Do you know what a power hour is?
No.
So it normally it's like you do a shot of beer every minute for an hour.
Oh, okay.
So we did a shot for every guy who came in this hour. A shot of beer. So I was pretty buzzed by the end watching this. But it was fun watching with him because he didn't really know anyone. And just seeing like the evolution of who he thought was going to win as it went on and all that. Because I obviously knew who won. But
oh, right. Okay.
I didn't tell him, you know.
But this was an interesting Rumble for who could have won because it could have gone a bunch of different ways.
Yeah. And as we get toward the end, I'll tell you who he was picking. But but anyway, it was a fun memory of me sitting in my dorm room, pounding beers, pounding daddy, and watching this one.
I like that Jeff Hardy has respect for his clothing. He doesn't want to throw the shirt away. Instead, he – oh, okay. Well, here's Drew Carey.
Okay, I have a lot to say about Drew Carey.
Yeah.
I'm a Drew Carey fan. I think the Drew Carey show, it has been lost to time, and it deserves to be on some streaming service. It's the best show. I loved it in the late 90s, early 2000s. I think it was hilarious, and I loved him on Whose Line Is It Anyway? It's one of my favorite shows as well. I used to watch it religiously in college and afterward, and I thought he was really good as the host. I thought he was funny, and I think he's a good guy. I like Drew Carey.
I don't know if he's a good guy. I didn't really like his show, but I don't really like Whose Line Is It Anyway? But I think he's a really good sport.
He does do well here. Like, he took it seriously and bought in, and, you know, he was only doing this to hype his special, his Whose Line Is It Anyway special
right
on pay-per-view. But, you know, he goes along with it, right? He plays along and doesn't disrespect it, which is cool.
No, he's fine in this role. And does he have the small microphone on Price is White like Bob Barker did?
Yeah, I think so.
I hate that microphone.
I don't know if he got the surgery or just lost a lot of weight. He's like skinny, kind of weird looking now.
Maybe he's dying.
A kid I went to high school with, and the Hardys just eliminate each other, leaving Drew Carey alone. A kid I went to high school with looked just like Drew Carey at this point.
Oh,
like
poor kid.
The look in like mid-90s, they have like kind of the cropped hair. And then everyone used to call him Drew Carey. And it was actually, we did a video.
And he killed himself?
No, we did like a oral presentation, but we did like, we videoed it and we had to get in character. And it was like a Civil War base. So like it was Grant and Lee in a nursing home, like still arguing over the Civil War.
Okay.
And then he sees this kid in the class and I go up to him and ask for his autograph as Drew Carey.
Uh-oh.
And then senior year, he came in with contacts and he had grown his hair out. To shed the Drew Carey comparison.
Well, shit. You think he wants to be known as Drew Carey, this
Drew
kid?
Drew Carey's a billionaire.
Yeah, but you're not thinking about that as a teenager.
No, I know.
The fat guy on TV. You don't want to be him.
He Facebook friended me like a year ago, and we're cool, so we're good.
Does he still look like Drew Carey?
No, he's a handsome guy, actually.
Oh, wow. Oh, you're saying Drew Carey's not handsome? That's not very positive.
I'm saying that. He's not handsome, but he's funny.
Oftentimes, like, when I do shows in schools, the kids will say, has anyone ever told you you look like Jack Black? And it fucking infuriates me.
Yeah. Do they say you look like a fat Jack Black?
Yeah, the fat one. But although the one year I had a beard and a bunch of them kept saying Jesus.
Oh. That's probably was that better or worse than Jack Black? You're telling me.
I don't know. Jesus is kind of emaciated. I don't know.
Killed a lot of people.
I kept wanting to say, like, I'm not Arab. But I don't know how well that would go over. Anyway, Kane. This is Kane's best Royal Rumble.
It is. He's amazing in this match, as we'll see as we go along. And I feel like his 01 was setting up really nice for him. Like, he had a good 2000 as far as being over and establishing himself. And he had that great return to Paul Bearer in February, up and down and during the year. But he was a main event player through all of 2000. And then after this match, it was like, oh, shit, like this guy's ready to break out. Like, he's kind of figured it out. He's put it together. Drew Carey tried to pay him off. And then he just gets saddled again with Undertaker after Mania, and like it just drags him down, and just has a bunch of lazy matches. They squash DDP, and that's it. Like, I feel like it kills his momentum.
Oh, and here's Raven.
The fuck hired Raven.
Is that the best hiring story of all time?
Oh, it's my favorite of all time.
Can you imagine Raven like so happy to finally be brought back and get a job, and then he has to hear that?
Who the fuck hired Raven? Raven was even on the Ruthless Aggressive podcast I did, but I talked about that anyway because it's one of my favorite stories of all time.
I will say I prefer his jorts look than the leather shorts look.
Yeah, I get why he did it, like to do something different, because I think it just wasn't clicking. I mean, he hadn't been here that long at this point. He had just come back in September.
Right.
So I guess he switched out of the jorts pretty quick.
I love how Drew Carey on his way out, like, cheered Kane on.
Yes.
Like, go get him, big guy.
Raven's interesting. I'd never really watched his full origin story, but now obviously on Extreme Three-Way Dance every other Thursday here on the North South Wrestling Connection Wrestling Podcast Network, have gotten to really enjoy watching how his character developed and how it came to be and where it's at. So it's kind of cool.
Is this backstory that he's like his parents were rich?
They haven't really said that yet.
Okay, might be coming. Am I spoiling it?
They get into that more in WCW, I think. But
okay.
I think it's kind of been hinted at. Anyway, the whole backstory is that him and Tommy Dreamer and Bulo went to summer camp together. And Raven was kind of the nerdy kid and Bulo was the fat girl. And him and Tommy were friends growing up, but Tommy was the cool jock and he kind of left Raven behind. And then they kind of went different ways. Raven got into wrestling too. And, you know, with Scotty Flamingo and all that stuff, because they don't hide from the fact that he was Scotty Flamingo and Johnny Polo. Okay. And then all of a sudden, like Stevie Richards in early 95 starts dressing up like all of Scotty Flamingo and Johnny Polo, like every week on ECW. And then keeps hinting that he's coming, like he's Johnny Polo's coming to ECW. And then he comes in as Raven and they explain the backstory and Beulah's with him and she's like hot now. And that's like the whole year of 95 is Raven with Beulah trying to get the revenge on their old friend Tommy.
Right.
Because Beulah was fat, the fat girl, and Raven befriended her as the nerd or whatever. So
I'm looking forward to getting to Raven on TNA Never Dies, which airs every yes. other Tuesday.
Yes. I remember some good Raven stuff for sure, especially in 03.
I don't love that there's garbage all over the ring right now.
I get why they did it. And this is always reminded, like when I think of this Rumble, I do think of this section, the Hardcore Rumble. Yeah. Al Snow was in, who the positive about him was in 98, he was super over with the head and all that stuff. And I feel like he was a guy that I kept wanting, like they kept wanting to try, but every time they would try, he just couldn't get over the hump.
There's just something missing. Although yeah. I will say I saw him in TNA, I think in 2014 or 15, mm-hmm. and he looked like an old cat.
Yeah.
Like if you were going to do the musical Cats, he would have been the perfect person to cast. And it's not so much for me with this, that there's like hardcore stuff, is that I think they emptied an actual garbage can in the ring.
Correct.
And that's what I don't like. Like there's clearly some of this stuff needs to be in the recycling if we care about the planet.
Yeah, but they don't. No. Especially in Louisiana. There's no way they recycle. Especially in 2001. But the hardcore stuff was so big in 2000. It was like such a big part of that year. And this is almost feels like a combination of that 24/7 stuff, you know, even though it doesn't end here, it keeps going for a while, but, Jesus Christ, Terry. But it feels like, that was a payoff to the year long, like the crash, like 2000 is like the year of Crash Holly and the 24/7 stuff. And, you know, it still goes because Raven actually ends up having some of the better hardcore matches, right? In 2001, it kind of becomes synonymous with it.
Is it Backlash against Rhino with the shopping cart? Yeah.
Yeah. Which was a really fun match and moment.
How come we didn't get Terry Reynolds in Playboy?
I don't know why she never did it. You think Dustin Rhodes wouldn't let her?
They weren't together now, were they?
No, but he still seems crazy.
You know, my father will say.
Parathadon is killing it right now. And where I'm at ECW as well, the Eliminators have just arrived and he is thick. He really slimmed down like for this. Like when he comes in ECW in 95, 96, him and Cronus are like thick boys. Like their legs and asses are huge. In a good way. Just like look, they just did nonstop squats, but he definitely slimmed down. I was always a Saturn fan. Like I liked him a lot in WCW. I thought he was guy that really benefited by going there because they did a really good job making him into a star. Like he's really over in 98, 99.
Yeah. It's just he was never going to click in WWF.
Right.
He's just not their type of guy, but he was such a good wrestler and he had an interesting look. Like
Well, what helped him too was coming in with the Radicals. If he was the guy that came in on his own,
oh, he's dead.
He would have never done anything. But he jumped at the right time. He made the right call to go with them, because he ended up being associated with them pretty much his whole run there, and that helps him long term for sure.
He would have been forgotten just like Taz was when the Radicals came in.
Right. Or if he came later, he probably just would have been kind of washed over. Mm. So we're still getting the hardcore stuff, and here comes the king of the hardcore division in 2000, late 2000, Steve Blackman.
He's got the sticks out already.
I love that they found that as a niche for him in 2000, because he was definitely another guy that was kind of getting lost in the mid-card with everyone coming in, and like they were like, oh, you know what? He'd be really fun with a bunch of weapons doing karate stuff. So let's just stick him in.
Just make him do some karate shit.
Well, it's great because he doesn't really use other weapons. A lot of time, like, he uses them in a karate way, you know what I mean?
Right.
Like a kung fu style. Like, he whips them around and throws them around. And, like it was a different adaptation of the hardcore stuff.
Well, it was such a good use of everybody's strengths.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, okay, well, he's not going to be fighting for the world title. He's not going to be in there doing classic wrestling matches. Okay, what could he do that will maximize his talent on our show?
Right.
Which is what I wish they would do more of today.
Yeah.
Like Ricochet doing sad interviews in the back instead of flips in the ring is fucking absurd.
I can't have him getting over, pal. So, yeah, the hardcore stuff hot and heavy here. But this is all your hardcore players outside of Kane, really. Like, even Saturn was heavy in the hardcore division, too, in 2000.
Well, and this kind of, like, traps Kane in the hardcore division for the next couple months.
Yeah, that's true. He is there for a little bit.
It's like he forms all these grudges here. Like, it took me a while before, when we were talking about him, to remember what he did at WrestleMania 17.
Yes, they almost killed the power to the building.
Almost destroyed the show.
And that's still not the crazy almost, like, craziest almost story of that show, right? Isn't that the one where Tommy Dreamer said he was going to show up and shoot Paul Heyman?
Yeah, on air.
Yeah, and kill himself after.
There's a sign in the front that says, "Nice face." I don't know what that's referring to. Oh. It's our favorite guy.
Still acting just as stupid as he does on TNA. Christopher.
It's so much better here, though. Like,
it is.
Because he's not the focus of the show.
Right. And he's over. The crowd actually, you know, likes him here.
Yeah.
Versus where we're at. He's also not nearly as bloated.
No, he's actually moving around fast. The dancing has been kept to a respectable minimum.
Mm-hmm.
The gimmick, the pants for the gimmick, he's still doing that gimmick.
Correct. He has enough stupid April with him.
He's not physically abusing his girlfriend on screen.
That's every other Tuesday, by the way. TNA never dies.
TNA never dies.
So Raven using weapons. Is there anything positive about Lawler? I do like his early stuff in WDF with Taka in the cruiserweight light heavyweight division.
Yeah, I don't mind it.
Too Cool is good too. Like early on, like they were super over. I'd argue he was probably the third reason why, but still they were over.
Yeah, yeah, he was definitely the third reason why. But I at the time I liked him more than Scotty.
Yeah, they also did the original. Just,
there he goes.
That's another good thing.
That was good. That was good, though, the way he took that out of the ring.
They also did the original kind of ambiguous gimmick that they would refine later with Billy and Chuck.
Oh, like they're homosexuals?
Yeah, when they were too much before they became too cool.
That's right. That's right.
Oh, that's a great elimination. Yeah, Blackman tried to skin the cat and Kane just hit him with the trash can lid.
Is Kane just going to clear everybody out here?
Yeah, I think it's the end of the hardcore portion of the Rumble.
And with that, the hardcore point. Nice big boot on Raven to toss
him
out.
They're all bumping great for him. Like, they're great bumps out.
And they're all different.
Yep.
There goes Saturn. Yeah. And they're still fighting on the outside, which is great.
That might be the closest to, like, the Diesel 94 run that we've got. Like, just clears out five guys at once pretty much on his own.
Right.
Here comes the Honky Tonk Man.
2001.
I do like this spot, though. It's pretty well done when he comes out.
He's going to start to sing, right?
Yeah, and then Kane just destroys him with the guitar.
Does anybody in today's wrestling generate the amount of heat that Honky Tonk Man did at his peak?
No, probably not.
Maybe Rey Mysterio at the 2014 Royal Rumble.
Yes, or Roman Reigns. Honky, positives about him. I do like some of his early IC title run stuff in 87 before he goes off the cliff. He's got some fun stuff with Steamboat and Savage in that little stretch.
Do you find that the people that were champions when you first started watching are always kind of your champions?
I guess for me, that would be Warrior, Perfect, and the Heart. No, Demolition. Yeah, that's probably about right.
Yeah, so me, it's Honky, Hogan, and Strikeforce.
Right.
And I don't know why. They all hold a crazy special place in my heart because of who they are and at that time.
Yeah, I would say Perfect as IC Champ stands out for me. Demolition, for sure.
Yeah. Well, Demolition is the pretty transcendent team. Is he trying to get the crowd to sing along?
He is, yes. Is he doing? Oh, he's doing his classic song. Okay.
Yeah.
There you go.
It's no surprise he didn't sing Honka 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 Burning Love.
Yes, not quite the hit.
No, as Honky Tonk Man was.
I do like, I feel like this is kind of one of the earlier surprise, like, throwback wrestlers in a Rumble. Like, I don't feel like they hadn't done too many of that. I don't remember 2000 specifically, but I feel like this kind of starts the trend of bringing back a legend or two for the Rumble.
Well, because next year you get Mr. Perfect and Goldust, right?
Yep.
And then, yeah, and then we get the fun ones every now and then.
Yeah. I think it's like the first random one.
You're not counting Dory Funk in the...
Oh, he was active. He was not a legend. Although it was Backlund in 2000, but he was kind of around.
Yeah. Or Dickie Murdoch. Carlos Colon. Who
I feel like they're not presented as legends. They're presented as like active competitors. You know what I mean?
Right.
Not like old retired guys coming back for like a comedy spot or whatever. Right. Like Carlos Colon was presented as a youngster.
Like okay, The Rock is destroying Kane, which is awesome.
Rock is like, this is the peak Rock look that I like.
Yeah.
Like, I know he's like in ridiculous shape now and juiced out of his fucking mind, but this Rock is like the quintessential wrestling Rock.
Yeah.
Tone, slim. Nice head of hair.
What's The Rock's best singles match?
First, we're going to say something good. He actually just won Nicest Man in the World, I believe. So something like that.
I have issues almost with that.
Most likable man he won.
I have issues with that.
You don't think he's likable?
No, I think he's very likable. I just think that
he put that Instagram video up.
Well, yeah. Like, why can't he just give Whippleman the car? He did it with Haku a couple years ago, too. Like, why does every nice thing he does have to be promoted by him?
I doubt it's every nice thing.
No, but it's a lot. There was another one where he's like, I called a kid at home, but it's the problem is it's on Rock's Instagram.
Yeah.
If it was on the kid's Instagram or Harvey Whippleman's, fine. I know it's stupid to be picking on this.
I think it's a brand thing, but I also think I'm going to give a little bit of benefit of the doubt because I do think he's genuinely like a great guy. Like, I wonder how much he does it to inspire others. You know what I mean? Like, he seems like that type that wants to inspire others to do good deeds. And showing that even at his level, like, he's just going to do good stuff for people. I'm sure he does a lot more beyond that, you know?
Maybe. I don't know. I guess it's just, I have trouble with the bragging online to begin with. Like, with anyone. And I guess this just feels like a guy who already has everything has to tell us how wonderful he is.
Yeah.
It doesn't make me think there's good. Well, we didn't even talk about the Goodfather.
Goodfather, I will say this. He's had a fun run of gimmicks. Mm-hmm. Papa Shango's great. But I thought the change from Godfather to Goodfather is one of the most inspired creative ideas of all time.
Yeah.
Like, it's almost seemed too good for them to actually do it. Like, it was like a cool idea that I can't believe they did.
Yeah. They're also releasing next year a Comma Supreme Fighting Machine action figure that I'm very much looking forward to.
Nice. You got the shirt or no shirt?
No shirt, I think. Well, I don't know.
You need the t-shirt.
Whatever. As long as you got that singlet on and the haircut, I'm good.
So Rock's best singles match. I'm sure most plebeians would say WrestleMania 17, right?
Yeah, I think that'd probably be my choice too, kind of begrudgingly.
How about the Iron Man with Triple H?
I don't think it's as good as that.
Okay.
Like, my other choices up there would probably be against Brock, maybe.
Mm-hmm.
The Angle match from No Way Out the next month here.
WrestleMania 19.
Yep, that'd be up there, too.
And then, I mean, personally nostalgic for me is the one that just had the anniversary a couple days ago as we're recording this. Rock and Mankind from Worcester, which is not his best match, but could be his best moment in a match.
Yeah, for sure. Oh, poor Taz. Here's Taz.
Taz, another guy I'm loving in 95, 96 ECW. He just like kind of became the insane, like badass Taz, like Suplex yeah. Machine with Bill Alfonso. And he's been amazing.
And he's
and there he goes.
I remember at the time being upset that this happened.
Yeah.
Because I was like, come on. Like, Taz got fucked by the Radicals coming in.
Mm-hmm.
Like, and it's such a shame.
He didn't help himself a little bit, though, either. Like, he got hurt pretty quick as well.
But is that his fault?
That he got hurt?
Yeah. Like, I was listening to someone talk about, or reading someone talking about why Finn Balor did become a main event star. And it was like, well, you know, he got hurt, so... Well, he got power bombed into a railing.
So it's not his fault he got hurt, but it's like just kind of shit luck because
yeah,
they move on, especially with Taz at that point. Like he needed to blow up and he just got hurt, you know. It happened with Vader too. Chad and I have chronicled it on Wrestling Warzone every other Thursday here on the North South Connection Podcast Network. When he came in, like he had this great momentum with the Rumble, but he had hurt his shoulder and it completely derailed him. And it took them a while to rebuild him, honestly. And they still haven't where we're at in June. They're booking him like this bully that like cheats to win, which is just stupid. It's fucking Vader. And I remember reading a lot about that in the Titan Sinking book as well. That covers 95 and 96 WWF in 97 as well. He did the three books. And it talks a lot about that, how Vader decided to have the shoulder surgery when he came in. And like it kind of pissed him off. And he kind of was in the doghouse for a bit because of it.
Hmm. What you're in 96, right?
On Warzone?
Yeah.
Yeah, we're in right before King of the Ring 96.
Well, it's funny. 1996 is the next year on the Year That Was, which airs every second Monday on the North South Connection Podcast Network.
It's good timing because we just did Great American Bash 96 with our buddy The Boar, which is, I think, one of our best episodes. Looking forward to King of the Ring and, of course, Bash of the Beach is upcoming soon as well. So lots going on.
Speaking of boars, here's Bradshaw.
I mean, I like JBL as a gimmick. I'm not going to apologize for it. I know his matches didn't always
connect. Who's asking you to apologize?
I can feel it.
From me?
His biggest issue was they gave him the world title too fast. But on the flip side, it also legitimized him that maybe he wouldn't have been otherwise. So I don't know. But
I really liked him as Justin Hawk Bradshaw.
Yeah.
I remember when he debuted thinking, oh, this guy could be really fun to watch.
I think he doesn't really have any downtime besides maybe late era JBL. Like APA is good. Like Acolytes is whatever. The Blackjacks is like fine. Like nothing's ever bad. Like he doesn't really have any bad stretches.
Is he in the running for maybe the greatest overachiever in wrestling history?
It's tough to say because like I don't know if he gets himself there. It's just a guy they've given up on a million guys like him. You know what I mean? And for whatever reason, they just didn't with him.
Yeah.
So I guess he overachieves where he probably should have been. But part of that is that for whatever reason, they chose him as a guy to keep around forever.
Yeah. Like, I wonder why they chose him instead of a guy like Test.
Right. Probably like the drugs.
You don't think JBL, I guess the alcohol is fine.
Yes.
And the sodomy in the back.
The rape is okay. Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. I guess he was just in with Taker and those guys, you know?
Yeah, maybe.
Test
was just in with Stephanie.
Yes, in Stephanie.
Inside of Stephanie. And Steffi. Can you imagine Stacy Huebler dated Test and David Flair?
And George Clooney. It's going to be the biggest spread in boyfriends ever, right?
Yeah.
George Clooney to fucking Test.
Yeah, David Flair. Probably slept with Ric Flair. All right. Albert. Okay. I like that they're covering his back. It's a smart choice at this point.
I kind of like his original gimmick that he was draws his tattoo artist and he used to try and like fucking pierce guys.
His skeezy tattoo artist.
TNA wasn't bad. They were kind of fun in 2000 for a bit.
Yeah, it's just the division like moved past them, I think.
Mm. Okay, and how like, about this? Good. Finish up.
No, I was just going to say like, and they already had a bruiser team in the APA.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, go on.
He's got that really fun match with Kane later this year for the IC title.
Nah, I don't like it.
What?
I love how they keep going back to him just like as a hip-hop hippo as the time goes on.
You can't get away from it. Yeah, by the end of this year, that's what he's doing, him and Scotty by Vengeance or the hip-hop hippos.
Well, and then he comes back as Lord Tensai, and by the end of the year, he's dancing with Brodus Clay.
And now, is he still in NXT? He's a coach there still, right?
Yeah, it's weird that he's a coach.
Mm.
Like, I'm always baffled by the people that end up being coaches.
I think it's this thing in sports, too. Like, the greats, it comes so natural to them, they don't know how to teach it, right? That's kind of the thing that you always hear. So, like, Michael Jordan's not a great coach, right? Because it's just like, he's just a natural. Larry Bird was a rare one where he was, like, amazing as a player and then a really good coach. Right. But
Wayne Gretzky was not a good coach.
In fact, it normally ends up being the guys that had to really work and train and learn the craft to end up being able to teach it. That's why in baseball, a lot of catchers, like, because they're so into the rest of the game, you know what I mean?
But, like, it's funny with wrestling. It feels like it's all the low-end guys as opposed to, like, say, a medium guy.
Right. Maybe they just need the money.
Yeah.
But, I mean, Shawn Michaels is, like, a full-time coach now in NXT, you know?
Yeah, but it took a while to get him back there, right?
Yeah, he probably just didn't want anything to do with it.
Can he even see anymore?
I don't know. I don't remember. Bob Holly's in.
Yeah.
I'm weird on Holly. He's like Chavo to me, where I liked him to a point and then I turned on him. Like, I like Holly until like 2004 and then I turned on him.
That's late. That's late for you to turn on him.
I liked him. Yeah.
I liked him to like here.
Yeah, I liked him a lot in 2000 when he broke out and he had that fun match with Triple H on the Heat. And he was kind of he was another guy that kind of got hurt by the Radicals. Because he was just kind of breaking out as a mid-card guy, but he was clearly behind them. But he definitely had some, like, internet groundswell in 2000.
Yep.
And then... because
he was actually pretty good. Like, he's pretty good in the ring. See, that's a guy, I think, why isn't he coaching? Maybe his temperament just won't allow for it.
Well, I think they tried. Right? I mean, he was doing Tough Enough and all that, and then just ended up being, like, an asshole, right?
Right.
Beat up, what's his name? Capitelli?
Oh, yeah. Was that the other? I always just imagine that was Bill DeMott.
Right. Who wasn't?
No.
Yeah, I mean, I guess, like, he's whatever. I don't mind him, like, in 03. Like, the Brock stuff, I kind of liked that they gave him that title match at Rumble 04, even though it ends up stinking. After that is where I kind of got out of him. By the time he's teaming with Cody Rhodes and all these other guys, like, every year.
Oh, God, yeah. You forget that he's there to, like, 09.
Mm-hmm.
That's a crazy run. I love how Kane's doing, like, the cruiserweight toss over, but they can't get him out of the ring.
He's been really good. He's been active so far in this match. Yeah. Very active.
Oh, yeah. There's our guy.
There's our buddy, The Truth.
I forgot he was in this match. This is
well, it's funny to think. Yeah, it's funny to think I'll say this before what we're watching in TNA.
Yeah.
Very young. I mean, he had just started, I think. I think November, I think, is when he came in.
This is when they brought him in to freshen up the Road Dog.
Ugh. He's still going to carry his ass in TNA.
Man, he's been such a revelation in TNA. Uh-huh. Like, I always heard he was good, but, like...
Yeah.
It makes kind of what the rest of his... Not that he hasn't had a bad career, but it makes the rest of his career feel almost like a waste.
Yeah. But you know what? He's a dude that has cashed a steady paycheck until deep into his 40s.
Yeah.
Always featured, very respected, never got hurt, looks great. So I guess he could do worse, right?
Always over. Yeah, that's what I mean. I don't want to shit on his career, but it's like it would have been nice to have him cutting those promos for a few more years.
Yeah, at least he gets that little bump in, was it 11 with Cena?
Yeah. Where he started smoking at ringside.
It was a good heel turn. I think that was in London.
Oh, yeah, it was great. I just don't think he was able to, and maybe this was why eventually, he just wasn't able to deliver those main event matches.
Yeah, well, I think we're seeing that even in TNA. Like, he's still limited in the ring.
Yeah.
Like, he's opening it up in TNA, but that was, 18 years ago. I mean, like he was a little younger. But even then, like, he's not, like, throwing off 5-star matches. Like, he's putting a 3.5, and we're acting like it's amazing,
He's good at the fast-paced brawl.
Right.
Oh, okay. And here is this
IRS? Oh, no.
Nope. Yes. But what's his name here? Is it? It's not Val Venus, is it?
Yeah, he was still this Val Venus.
They're calling him. See, they didn't change his name.
No. Mons Venus, they could have went with.
Planet Venus.
Rhymes with penis.
It does.
They could at least like done his full name, like Valerie.
Valerie Venus?
Valerie V. Ness, like V period, like a middle initial, and then Ness.
How about V. Nessa?
At least he doesn't have the Ice Cream Man outfit on here. I ditched that when he had the all white for a while.
He was by far the most over guy among my friends who were like peripheral wrestling fans in 98.
I love that he got outed hard by Missy Hyatt for having a small dick and sucking, banging.
Oh, really?
You heard that story? Because you would think he's like the sex god, right? Because that's his whole gimmick, this porn star. And I guess she like sought him out to like bang him because of that. And then it's in her book, I think. And he ended up just being like terrible.
And she's probably high.
That was disappointed.
How many wrestlers has she slept with?
Oh, it's a lot.
All of them?
Everyone. Right down to Bob Caudle.
Oh, Rock and Truth. That's an interesting matchup.
Yeah. Well, they fight again. It's Survivor Series 2011.
That's true. Remember when they blamed Truth and Miz for that buy rate?
Oh, God. Awful.
How ridiculous of a statement is that?
Yes, R-Truth, the guy that you made a joke for the last 5 years and stuck him in this match. It's his fault.
How sad is it that Miz is in the same position he was 10 years ago?
Well, he's kind of like a Truth, right? I mean, looks good, made a lot of money, still going.
Oh, smiling William Regal. I love that he had a really nice smile. He waved and smiled at someone nicely, and then his face turned angry.
Sneered.
Yeah.
Oh, I liked him during this whole stretch. I love his match with Jericho. It's a good feud. He's just always good.
Yeah.
He's another guy that just always, right when he was about to break out, something always happened.
Yeah.
Heart thing, the nosebleeds, the drug gets popped for the steroids. Like, it was like always something with him.
I think the biggest missed opportunity with him was a face turn in 05 defending Eugene.
Yeah. 04. Yeah.
04. Yeah.
Well, they kind of turn him.
But actually, actually go through with him fighting Triple H. Like, right.
Because Triple H beats him up. Remember, he chains him to the fucking heater in the hotel room.
Yes.
Yeah, that one. And then he was finally ready, I feel like, in 08 when he wins King of the Ring.
Yeah.
And then he gets popped for the steroids or whatever, and that's it.
Yeah, shame. But it's cool they kept him around.
Yeah, well, then he comes back in ECW for a bit, right? I think he's good there. He was always good. He was never not good.
Did you ever see his match with Cesaro? I believe it was like December 26, 2012 in NXT.
Yeah, I think I have.
I just remember that being awesome and thinking, wow, he can still go now.
Well,
get him in the ring.
A match I haven't seen in a while that I'm curious if it still holds up is the match that got him rehired. The Brian Pillman Memorial match with Benoit. Have you watched that recently?
Yeah. No, I don't think I've ever seen it.
No,
it's on Benoit's DVD, isn't it?
Yeah, it must be. I know it's on a DVD somewhere.
Yeah.
I kind of want to rewatch it and see if it still holds up because it's the match I got him rehired. So,
well, let's watch it next time we do this.
We could. You just want to watch the whole Benoit DVD? Get depressed.
Oh, wow. Regal's. What a waste of Regal. Tess just tosses him out.
There's always guys in the Rumble that, end up with that disappointing performance. They come in late. They should have a long run. It happens a lot. 97, I feel like they do that a lot to guys. They throw out a bunch of good guys in a match that lacks star power.
97?
Yeah, it's like Mero, Triple H. Like, I feel like there's a bunch of guys early that kind of get chucked that could have, like, added depth to that match for a while. They get thrown out quick.
Maybe Mero.
There's a few in there, I feel like. Right during that stretch.
I know. I don't even think Mero's there. Mero's hurt, isn't he? Or is it the next one?
No, he gets hurt right after it.
Yeah.
There's a stretch in like the late 10s, early teens where like the ring is really thinned out and they're like a few good guys that get thrown out kind of quick. They do it in 95 is probably the worst one where Owen and Backlund get thrown out right away.
Oh man, does that match ever need star power? Right. The problem here is that like they throw Regal out, but like Bradshaw's been in there for like 20 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
Like, if you want to throw someone out, throw Bradshaw out, let Regal get a bit more Regal shine.
So I guess one good thing about Test, I did like the Stephanie stuff. Like, I thought he was really good during that stretch, and it felt like he was maybe on the verge of a breakout. Like, I remember thinking, like, he, you know, it felt like he could have been the third guy at Survivor Series instead of Big Show winning that title.
Yep.
And I remember thinking it could be believable that him and Triple H would fight at Mania that year. Like, I remember thinking that in the fall.
I thought it made perfect sense for him to come out and be the third guy. Like, I don't want to start any test as the third man.
Right.
Okay, this is a return, right?
Yes.
Like, he's been gone a while, the Big Show, right?
He went to the Fat Farm in August. It was the Raw I went to in Providence right before SummerSlam was when they announced that day that they had demoted him. And that's when Kane hastily turned heel.
Okay.
And he fights Taker at Mania. I mean, at SummerSlam in that terrible match.
Yes.
That was rushed because they were pissed off at Big Show. So this was his, he had been gone since August.
Yeah, and he's just tossing guys left and right here.
Yeah, throughout Test and Truth.
What's Big Show's best match?
I'll tell you, I am loving him in WCW 96.
Oh, yeah, he's good there.
He has been amazing. The match with Sting at Slamboree was so much fun.
Hmm.
And his presence is so good. As Big Show, is it the Henry match? Is a really good Henry match, right?
It might be the Henry match. It might be the Sheamus match the next year.
Yep. And then him.
Oh, no, I know what his best match is. We're skimming the obvious one. It's Mayweather.
But, oh, right. Yeah. I like him and Brock in the stretcher match.
Yeah, it's okay. I don't mind that one.
You get the triple threat, too. I don't know how much credit you give him. him, Rock, and Taker. And then the next year, him, Brock, and Angle.
Him, Brock, and Angle. Oh, those are, yeah, those are all right. I like those. I mean, he does a good job in them.
And then was one other one I was thinking of.
Whoa, is Rock going to eliminate him? Yeah.
Is it? Back to the Fat Farm, Big Show.
All by himself. I love that Big Show there was throwing choke slams with one hand.
Yes. He definitely looked motivated coming back in here. And he, this was a cool callback, because remember the year before was all the hullabaloo with Big Show and Rock at the end.
Good use of the word hullabaloo there.
Thank you.
No, now Big Show's throwing a big tantrum.
I had one in my mind with Big Show. And like, him and Taker had that good one in like 09 randomly. Wasn't it 09?
I don't know. I can't deal with him and Taker.
You meant 09 or 10 where they have like the knockout match or something? I feel like you talked about it and you had that was.
Maybe. I can't imagine I praised it.
Yeah, I remember you saying it was okay.
Oh, maybe. Maybe I was like contrasting it with the casket match at the Survivor Series, which is fucking awful.
Crash Holly. Crash Holly, good thing is I love him in 2000. I used to live for those 24 segment, 7 segments.
How do the new ones rank up against those ones for you?
I don't really pay attention to the new ones, honestly. But those were great because it was so new. Like, I have that tape somewhere from that 2000... 99 2000 kind of stretch when I was in sophomore year of college, we'd record all the good parts of Raw and SmackDown or stuff we liked. So I just have like a tape and a half of just like clips from that era. You know, always recorded whatever Crash Holly was doing. I love the when they go to the Funhouse and the ball pit and just all the different stuff he did.
Is it did Gerald Briscoe pin him? Who does he pin when the guy's taking a nap?
It's Briscoe pins him.
It's Crash though he pins?
Yes.
Oh, that's the best. I love that segment. And the ref is counting quietly, too.
Corderas, yeah.
And then he celebrates quietly. Like, that's the kind of detail they don't do anymore.
And then him and Patterson have the poop stain match at King of the Ring.
Right. Fuck, The Rock is a beast.
Mm-hmm.
It's funny. Rock's performance in this Rumble gets overshadowed by A, who wins, and B, Kane. But he's just as important to this match.
Oh, yeah. He's great. This is his peak. I mean, his peak run is 2000 and 01. Like, I'm not saying it's his best stuff because he's so good in 2000 and 03 with the character stuff, but this is where he's just like a workhorse for the company, his 2000 and 01.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, Austin leaves and it could be a disaster, but it's not because he's there.
Yeah, I would say from Survivor Series 99 till WrestleMania 17 is like The Rock's run.
Right.
God, I forget Taker's in this match.
I know.
Loaded.
Ugh, I hate that ponytail in the back, the braided ponytail.
I don't know. Taker's best good stuff to talk about. I don't know.
Oh, well, we know what it is. We know what it is. He's the most clear example of someone who has the best matches of all time and the worst matches of all time. And there's no one even close to him in that way.
And no one ever will be.
No.
I don't think anyone will ever have that high level of stuff and that low level of stuff.
Yeah, but it's weird because like it's also spread out across a bunch of weird years.
Right.
It's not like it's only the early stuff that he has that's bad.
No. It comes and goes. Of course they clear house. Him and Kane just completely throw everyone out.
Yeah. But they've done a good job of filling the ring with some lesser card guys, yeah. Except The Rock, who's injured on the outside.
Yeah, Big Show put him through the table. It's still killing me what match I was thinking of a Big Show. I cannot get it back. Oh, the three-way at the Rumble, him, Brian, and Henry.
Oh, that's fun. Yeah, the cage match where he's got his head palmed.
That used to be one of my go-to. When I first moved into this house, I ordered that show. Or I ordered it at my old house, and then we moved here in May of 2012. And I kept it on my DVR, and this is before the network. And if I didn't feel like putting a DVD on or whatever, I kept that on my DVR, and I watched that show like so many nights to go to bed, Rumble 12. And I would always just – I had that saved, and I think Money in the Bank 11. And I would just like alternate between those shows to pass out to.
Yeah, Rumble 12 is such a strange show. It's like the best of times and the worst of times, and poor Scotty too. Oh, this is great, though, Scotty's entrance.
The one time he doesn't come yelling down like a moron because he's like,
he knows he's dead. And they're just see, this is what the Hardy should have been doing at the start.
What number are we at? Have you been paying attention?
No, we could find out, but
yeah, I don't know. They don't show it. I feel like some years they show the number, and this one they're not.
I don't think they'd started doing it yet. I think it's something they started doing at one point, and then we're at number 26.
Oh wow! Already?
Yeah. This match is good. It flies by.
I would have thought like 19 maybe.
No, 20. What did I say? 25.
You said 26.
26. Yeah.
That's fucking crazy.
Yeah. They're just destroying this poor guy.
I mean, I guess Scotty's best stuff has to be the early, Too Cool, right?
Yeah, or the match with Dean Malenko.
Yes. Yeah.
That everybody loves.
Really cool. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I like that match. I don't think it's that great, but it's very good.
In the moment, it felt like amazing because who would have expected it? You know what I mean?
Right.
And it felt like they were actually treating Dean legitimately, too, which was big at that time.
Like, yeah, well, they should have used him more to sell the legitimacy of that title.
Yes. They did a good job with the Radicals at first. They really did because they paid off on the whole "we'll make you stars" thing, right? I mean, that was the hook, right? We'll do what WCW couldn't do to these guys, and they did. Like, they all got a good push through until the end of 2000. Then it kind of falls apart. But for that first year, like, all four of those guys got real pushes.
Yeah. All right. Well, here's it's crazy how over Austin still is.
Oh yeah. This crowd is going fucking bananas.
Yeah, but they've been going crazy all night. Like, every shot, they keep doing that wide shot, and everybody's jumping up and down for every instance. And this is a great... Oh, here comes Triple H. Fucking Triple H.
This and Austin had just kind of gotten his gear back, right? It was he fight Angle on, like, one of the early Raws of the year or SmackDown, right?
Yeah.
That was kind of his, like, it's back match, you know?
Yeah.
And now Rock's back in the ring, so here we go. It's going to be, once Triple H is gone, it'll be Austin, Rock, Taker, and Kane.
Yeah, which is perfect. I mean, that's who you want in there at the end, right?
Yes.
And they've done such a smart job booking and keeping Kane and Rock in there so long, because you've had people you've cared about in the match the whole time.
Yep. And they've been active. There's been no laying around. But I mean, Rock, besides the chokeslam on the table, but he took a big bump. It's not like he just was laying in the corner.
Yeah, and also, like, he wasn't out there that long, and it was only so Undertaker and Kane could clear the ring.
Yes.
It's not like Roman Reigns taking a nap.
Right.
For reasons.
So Austin's busted open now by Triple H. And I didn't mind this, because they had been in a blood feud since Austin's return, and they're setting up No Way Out.
I'm good with this Triple H. This Triple H is fine with me.
Yeah.
I think it's 2002 where he loses me. Forever.
Yeah, I mean, 2000 into 01, like, he's great. I mean, he's a big part of the show. Like, I don't think anyone's really sick of him, honestly.
No. Oh, my God. Billy Gunn has no business in this ring. He slides the whole ring.
Great athlete.
I'll be completely transparent. I always loved Billy Gunn at this time. He was always one of my favorite guys.
Nothing beats the famous Survivor Series 01 when he taps the leg. That's my favorite Billy Gunn moment, and the crowd is nuts. And even he's surprised. he was always good in this stretch. He was fine.
I remember liking that he won King of the Ring.
He's a guy that got victimized by the push, and Edge didn't help him when he shit all over him, Billy bitch cakes and all that stuff.
Right. But that was the year later, though, right?
Yeah, I guess.
2 years later.
Was it?
Yeah, because wasn't it when, after Edge won the King of the Ring, he said that shit?
Oh, yeah, I guess so. Well, Rock shit on him too. It's Summer Dakota to SummerSlam.
Yeah, I know.
Which didn't help. That large woman's ass.
But then again, Billy was also one of these guys who probably, like, just couldn't do that main event style with these guys.
Right.
Like, he was fine, I thought. Intercontinental Division, early 99, perfect mm-hmm. place for him.
Yeah. Yeah, that was about it.
Probably should have won the title then instead of Road Dogg.
Right. And I didn't mind him, like, being with Rock. Like, you know, they tried to give guys that shot. They did it with Snow. They did it with Gunn. There's a few guys that kind of get that little rub, and then whatever. Then they have the rub, and they go back down. One of my favorite Billy Gunn moments in 01 is when him and Big Show start teaming, and they're asking Vince for ideas for team names. And he says, I don't care if you call yourselves Double Trouble Crap on a Stick. Great Vince line.
Yeah. I'm always just a sucker for Billy Gunn. He's good. Is this the... Yes.
Haku's big return. I think he's like the last man to jump from WCW. Yeah. Before it shuts down. And he was hardcore champion.
Yeah. This was legitimately shocking.
I feel like there were some rumors that day online that he was maybe going to show up or something.
Really? I knew nothing. And I'm like, holy... Like, it just felt like such a random cut, too.
Right. Jesus. Austin is gushing blood.
Speaking of cuts.
Haku's great.
Yeah.
Ming is great. And it was cool that they called him Haku again, not Ming.
Yeah. He looks good. He can still go.
Yeah. It sucks. I wish they used him more in 01. Like, it felt like they were headed toward Taker and Kane versus Rikishi and Haku at Mania. And it just never happens. And then he doesn't really do anything after that.
Well, Triple H had to ruin it.
Yeah. He just ends up standing around during the invasion. That's it.
That's right. He's always like one of the guys, like Bradshaw's trying to rally.
Yes. Yeah. After like No Way Out, I don't think he does much at all. Like No Way Out, they interfere in that match, I think. Right.
Yeah.
And then.
I wonder why.
Yeah. I don't know.
Because they love the Samoans.
Yeah. I'm not sure what it was.
And I love how Taker right away is just selling for him like crazy.
Oh, yeah.
That's how respected he is. That he comes in after, what, like 8 years? And Taker's like treating him like a completely legitimate threat.
Yeah, his last appearance really would have been, I think, Rumble 92.
Yeah.
I don't think he does much after that, if anything. So 9 years pretty much to the day almost.
Wow. I love Haku. He's mm-hmm. one of those guys in the 80s who really just helps bring everything together.
It concerned me a little bit watching some of the he doesn't have as many good singles matches as you'd think. Like, they gave him shots. There's mm-hmm. a bunch of MSG matches in like 90 and 91 where I kept in 89. Like, I kept waiting for that good match that doesn't really come. I never really get to see any of the good Steamboat ones that are kind of legendary in 91 on the house shows that are supposed to be really good. But I know he's good. I just think he's better in tags.
I agree. I don't understand why Rikishi's music is always so low in his heel persona. I'm a bad man.
I'm doing bad things.
I always remember that Austin is cut in this match, but I'd forgotten why he was cut.
Right.
I figured someone hit him with a chair or something.
So this is our final feel, right? Rikishi was 30, so...
Yeah.
We got Taker, Kane, Rock, Austin, Rikishi, Haku, and Billy Gunn.
So who did your friend think was taking this?
Kane.
Oh, really?
Yeah, he was all in on Kane. Just from what, as the match was going, he was like, oh, Kane's going to win. Like, he's been booked like crazy.
That makes sense.
But yeah, I remember loving this. Like, we were drinking the beer. He had never seen it. It was like a random afternoon, too. It was like a Saturday afternoon or something. He was killing them. I'd gotten the tape. I forgot how I got it, but. And then I actually own this Coliseum home video tape. My buddy in college's dad worked for Castrol, who was a big sponsor for WWF.
Oh, right. Okay.
And one day in like 2002, he came over with a huge box of Birch that they had sent him. And he's like, here, what do you want? So I got a WCW hat, this tape, the action tape. There was like a bunch of things that he gave me. So it was pretty cool.
Great near elimination from Rock there.
Yeah, I definitely thought he was gone.
Well, because at this point, it's like, okay, like you could see it, right? It's Undertaker doing it too.
Right. But you're also thinking Austin Rock at this point, right? I mean, that it seems like that's where they're headed.
Yeah. I love how Undertaker tried to headbutt Rikishi and it hurt him. Oh, Rikishi eliminates Undertaker.
Wow, that's big.
Yeah.
So it definitely seems to me like they're setting up that for Mania here, right?
Yeah. I wonder what the plan was for Triple H then.
Well, Sean was supposed to be there, right? Was it him and Sean?
Oh, maybe.
Because isn't that the rumor that he was going to come back or whatever? Because yeah. They make that Triple H Taker match. It gets made like 2 weeks before.
Yeah, maybe that was it. Mania.
I know Sean was supposed to be at that show. I don't remember if you're supposed to fight him or not or what. I know some of our regular listeners that are pretty dialed in, Pete or Steve McCullough. If you guys know, let us know. But
if that's the card, it has a chance to be even better than the card we got.
Yeah, if it's Triple H, Sean, and then that tag, yeah, probably.
Yeah, because I don't really like the Triple H Undertaker match. Okay, Rikishi. So Billy Gunn is in the final four, which is insane.
Yes.
Wait, no, it's great. Sorry, being positive. It's great. It's cool. Opportunity he's getting.
This is crazy to think about. Yeah, I'm surprised they didn't keep Rikishi in there for the final four.
Yeah. Maybe it was a mistake.
No, I feel like they usually maybe have like that fourth guy be kind of different, you know?
Well, Billy Gunn also had just won the Intercontinental title in...
Right.
In December, right?
Yeah, he's a big enough name that you could think maybe they're pushing him. Like, I don't think anyone thought he'd win with these three in there, but...
Yeah, okay. He's about to be tossed out by...
Now, at this point, did you think it was going to be Austin Rock?
As the final two?
Yeah.
No, but I wouldn't say that, but I was positive that it was going to be either Austin or Rock winning.
Right. Yeah, not Kane.
Yeah.
I mean, no one ever won three times, so it kind of seemed like, are they really going to give Austin a third one?
Yeah. But then none of this made sense. Oh, fuck, Austin looks awesome there with the blood on his face. None of this made sense to me at the time.
Right.
Because I'm like, okay, I guess Austin's going to fight Angle. Maybe right. Like, because I'm trying to figure out who's, because Angle's the champ, right? So
yes,
maybe they'll do Rock Angle again, but I didn't think they'd do that. This whole Austin sequel. This is as close as you'll ever get to Hogan Warrior right here. In the Rumble.
I would agree. I mean, you're never going to have two stars this big again in there, really.
Yeah.
At the only peak.
Yeah, the only difference here is that by this point, we've seen them wrestle a bunch of times.
Correct.
But still. It's
not at this level, though. Because the last time they fought, really, was like 15.
Yeah.
And then I guess a little bit in late 99 before Austin got hurt, but not really. And at 15, Rock wasn't there yet. You know what I mean? Like, he was kind of coming up.
No, I'd say Backlash is the end. Because Rock gets beat, and then he turns face.
Yeah, so this... They hadn't really ever crossed paths at like their peak level, you know?
Right.
It's like comparing Hogan Savage at 5 to Hogan Savage in 85.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, so yeah, I think this is as close as you get to that. Do you like that they use Kane as the in-between?
Yeah, I think Kane totally earned it. He doesn't look out of place. He's legit. Like, as much as I don't think he'll win, he could.
Oh, yeah.
It's not insane to think he could win. Like,
no, definitely not.
It's not like it's Billy Gunn still in there.
It's a great final three. It's been a great awesome. Rumble. It really holds up well. I mean, it flew by. I know we've been talking the whole time, but it flew by.
No, nice Rock Bottom. Such a good finish, the Rock Bottom.
Mm-hmm.
Can slide into it from anywhere. Like,
you bet he ruined it by doing the stupid people's elbow after it every time. I love Rock. I hated the people's elbow.
Does he beat Hogan with the people's elbow, or does he just Rock Bottom him a couple times?
No, I think he does the people's elbow, doesn't he?
Yeah, I think so too. Oh, Kane goes through the second rope. Smart move.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I like the people's elbow a lot more. But I guess it's getting the biggest pop in the match, so you kind of have to put it at the end.
You could always do it before the Rock Bottom.
Yeah, but then you got to pick him back up. Like,
I know. I just hate it. Like,
I agree. Look, I'm not. I'm with you. Like, I think it's stupid to end matches that way.
Especially big matches. Like, all right, random TV shit, whatever. But like big time Mania matches and everything. Like, your biggest matches in the company, and like he's winning with this stupid elbow.
He could fight. He could beat D'Lo Brown with the People's Elbow.
Correct.
He shouldn't beat Hulk Hogan with it.
Correct. Even Triple H, you know, your Mankind, like any of those guys, like none of them should be losing to the People's Elbow. And here goes Rock.
Kane dumping Rock. Yeah.
So now, did you like that Kane is the next, like, instead of Rock, Austin is the last two? Did you like how they do this?
I like it now. I like it in hindsight. At the time, I don't remember.
I think it was shrewd because I think they didn't want the crowd split when Austin wins.
Yeah. Although they wouldn't have been.
Austin
always won that contest.
Yeah, I mean, especially later he does, but
yeah,
still, I could see why they thought they wanted to do it that way.
Yeah, yeah, makes sense. And there's validity in it, but yeah. Like it's really interesting that Rock could never win that popularity contest here.
Right.
And he's the most popular person on earth now.
Part of it might be too that they didn't want Austin to eliminate him because Kane did. You know what I mean? So like you kind of keep them still fresh from Mania by not having one of them get over on the other.
Well, that's actually why I like it now. Right. Like in hindsight, it makes perfect sense. You're saving them for Mania. Let Kane throw him out now.
Yeah. Yeah. Man, so on the surface, it seems kind of weird, but when you think it through, I think it makes sense.
No, I think it's great. It makes total sense. A low blow to Kane. Kane just hand right to the penis.
That's what he's known for.
The blood on Austin here is also adding to this match incredibly.
Oh yeah, that was a great part of this, was Triple H attacking him and busting him open.
Yeah,
there's been a lot of extracurriculars in this match, like fighting on the floor, the table bump, that, but it never felt like forced or dragged out.
Nope.
This may be a little bit. Like, I don't know if Kane needs to get the chair.
Well, it's a crutch to get, like...
Yeah, I know.
I mean, it makes sense in the context of how beaten up both guys are.
Right.
Like, Kane's been in there forever. Austin got beat up before he even entered the match. He's lost a lot of blood.
Yeah, Kane came in, what, a 6?
Yeah.
Yeah, amazing run. I mean,
he suffered the hardcore stuff, you know?
His career highlight, probably.
Oh, yeah. This is him winning the title. Anyway. Yeah.
Yeah. Good stunner.
Yeah. I love that he has to crawl to the chair. Like, everything about this is really well done.
Mm-hmm. They're all feeling themselves. I mean, it's the absolute peak of everything right now.
Yeah. And it's like, this is the problem. This is like, wrestling will always be compared to this, which in some ways is unfair, but in other ways, it's completely fair.
Right.
Like, why wouldn't you compare it to the best it could be?
I wonder if it'll ever just reach that level. Like, is it possible?
Well, there's always hints, right, that it could be.
And that's it. Austin wins his third Royal Rumble match to set up to head to WrestleMania.
Yeah. Great match.
Yeah. I mean, I think it held up wonderfully. I really enjoyed rewatching. I hadn't watched it in a while. And it was cool talking to you through it. So, listen, you can hear No Holds Barred every other week here on the North-South Connection Podcast Network. We'll be back in a couple of weeks with our February Listomania, talking about the best February pay-per-view workers in WWE history. And next month, we'll do another live watch. We'll have to pick a good February match to chat through. So,
and be sure to also check us out every other Monday as well with the new show that dropped last week. Or a week and a half ago, when was it?
Now entering the Rumble.
Yeah.
Where we are breaking down Rumble performances by guys in order of their all-time appearances. So, episode 1, we talked all about Bret Hart, and that's every other Monday, rotating with the year that was here on this network. On Twitter, I'm at JT the Pod Guy. Aaron's at Aaron D. George. Facebook.com/Connection. Want to thank each and every one of you that's taken time to download. We broke our 50,000 download mark a couple weeks ago, which was awesome, which I really, really appreciated. Each and every one of those. Appreciate every review that gets left, every rating, and you guys are the best, so we're going to keep churning for you. So the dookie's been dropped. We'll talk to you in 2 weeks. Goodbye.
Goodbye.